about Dallas and make it hurt.
Hey, welcome back to the King Ragone Show on the Bleed Network and the Draft Network. We're here with Gilbert Frierson.
GB.
Yo, what's up, fellas? Thanks for having
me. Coral Gables' very own.
Hey.
We've been trying to get GB on the show for 2 years. He's been ducking.
Yeah, but he's been ducking us.
Bro, Ragone texted me 30 minutes before. I'm like, hey, what you doing 30 minutes? He'll see me all day. He'll be in locker room with me. Yeah. And then come at me 30 minutes, text me like, hey, what you doing in the next 30 minutes?
He do be doing that for sure, though.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, GB. I did that when stuff fell through. I can't lie to you. Stuff fell through. I was like, oh, I know my dog GB got me, but you ain't had me like I thought you had me. But nah, it's good to have you on here finally. You know, Ben wanna talk to you, you know, Coral Gables, Coconut Grove's very own. You know, you grew up across the street. You know, football obviously wasn't too good down here in Miami, Florida. But you know, you
decided. Whoa. That's his boy. Hold it. There's a reason y'all down here in Miami balling.
Hey, Texas had the most guys drafted this year again.
Yeah, again. You know, no big deal.
Hey, man, no big deal, man.
Now, hey, right. On the last episode, I read the comments. These people were going crazy arguing about Texas, Florida.
I'm not gonna even argue with y'all. Like, y'all know. Like, we all know. Like,
yeah, we all know Texas.
Of course, y'all gonna stick up for your city. Like, you're supposed to, like, ride or die. But, like, in your blood, like, in your heart, you know.
Hey, hold on, bro. It might be Texas, Georgia, then Florida now.
Yeah, it's Texas, Georgia, then Florida.
Ooh. And then California.
Now we in third place. We went from first to third.
Y'all was never in first.
Man, I went in first for sure.
Hey, man. Same old talk, but y'all ain't changed.
Hey, but how was it growing up in Coconut Grove?
Man, it was straight, you know. It was easy to fall off track, you know, if you took the wrong path or hung with the wrong crowd. But, you know, I had family and friends that kept me on the right track along the way. So, you know, it's tough growing up, you know, in the type of neighborhoods we grew up in. But, like, it's always a way to make it out. So, you got to, you know, just stay prayed up and stay focused.
It's good you had, you got a couple older brothers that played ball too. So it was good having, you know, role models, and they all, you know, pretty good at football too. So that was good, right? How was that having older brothers that was, you know, good at football as well?
It was good because I always wanted to be better. a funny story is that the reason I played defense, because I always played receiver. Like, you know me, like, I was a true receiver, right? And I had one of my brother coaches in high school. And he's always saying, nothing like your brother at receiver. My brother's a pretty good receiver. My brother played for Coach Chris by FIU, and he's a pretty good receiver. He's always messing with me when I was on JV, like, yeah, nothing like your brother. Nothing like your brother. I say, you know what? I'm going to defense then. I ain't my brother. And you had a couple guys, like, that's exactly how I started really, like, playing full-time defense. Other than that, like, growing up into high school, I was really a receiver, you know.
Yeah.
You switched like that.
He wasn't bombing nothing, though.
Hey, I'm still in. They need me out there.
Getting bold. Nah,
but you know, you talked about his older brothers, but one you ain't mentioned was his uncle.
Hall Frank of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
One of the best to ever do it right there.
I'm going to say the best, but, you know, I'm going to leave that to the critics, but I'm going to say the best to do it. But, yeah, you know, having him around too is big. You know, still having him around there. Having those talks and just seeing him work, you know, since I was a kid, seeing him go out there and work and put it on us, me and his son. You know, we have a son right now that my little cousin I play against. He at Southern Miss, we played him second game of the season.
Yep.
So, you know, he was always just hard on us. And, like, I mean, we see it. So it wasn't much he can really tell us because we see it. And he just wanted to get through us as much as he could, you know. Our long days, our tough days, you know, he talked to us about just, like I say, staying focused. Like, you know, he went through his injuries and what he went through going into college and things like that. And people thought he wasn't going to be where he was today. But I seen him work and I just seen him stay focused. And most definitely always kept good people in his corner.
Would you say he's a big, one of your biggest motivations and one of your biggest motivators as well?
Oh, for sure. There's no question. Like, I mean, every time I go to his house, I'm like, yeah, I got to get a bigger house. You know what I mean? Like, hey, yeah. I see his house and I'm like, yeah, I gotta get a bigger house. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, we just trying to do what he did. Plus, you know, what he did is incredible. Like, that's one in the mill. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody know, just like I say, just having those talks, just seeing him working, putting that pressure on us when we needed it, and letting us know when we was doing wrong, letting us know when we wasn't on the right track, and keeping us focused. And that's major to have somebody like that in your corner, and that's done it for the amount of years that he's done it for.
Yeah,
it's just a blessing.
Yeah, I'll say this about Frank. I know when I told my ACL in 2020, he was one of the first people to call me for. You know, we talked for like 30, 45 minutes on the phone. You know, he tore his twice, I think, Miami. So we talked about that. He's just like a real genuine dude. Like, even after the draft, before the draft, like, I was talking to bro on Instagram a lot. And, you know what I'm saying? Keep your head up and just go do what you got to do. Like, all that. So he's one of the, you know what I'm saying? He's one of the realest past Hurricanes that I know. So that's a pretty cool dude right there. Mm-hmm. I got a question. When did you know that you were a Cane? Like, was you always a Cane? Like, since birth or what?
I mean, yeah, I was always around it. I was a kid, but I remember his drive party. I got pictures. We all were Army Fatigue. That's when everybody back then was with Army Fatigue. Me and all my cousins that's around the same age, my son, we all in our Army Fatigue, and we have a little dance group. We used to step and stuff like that. So we danced at his whole drive day, and you know, we were just around him, and like, it's just crazy, like, you know, just being around him and just seeing all the accomplishments he made.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, you know, because I know I met your mom and stuff. How big of a motivation was she for you? Because, you know, your mom, that's one of the best things, I think, for you, that your mom lives, you know, right across the street from the school. The best thing is I see her cooking all the time. I'd be so jealous. I'd be sliding up. I'd be texting you, when's your mom making a plate? When's your mom making a plate? But how is that? You know, how is it, you know, having her so close, nearby where you go to school? Was that a big factor for you? And, you know, she one of your biggest motivations? Like, how was she growing up with you, you know, keeping you on track and stuff?
Oh, man. Yeah, mom. She the same way, man, how she always been motivated. She just want me to do the right thing, man. Her main focus with me was just, you know, staying out of trouble, you know, doing good in school, getting my degree. So, you know, when I got my degree, I ain't even bring it home. I gave it straight to her. Like, you know what I mean? Because that's all she really wanted me to do besides, you know, all the football. And, know, that come along. But she really just wanted me to stay focused in school. Like, that is my motivator. Like, you know, I pass my mom's house every day to get to school. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So I see her going to work, and it might be a day, you know, not feeling it as much. And I see her going to work, and I be like, yeah, that's my cue. That's my, you feel me? That's God sending me my signal to go get it in, to go grind, you know what I mean? And, you know, we all have those days, and I see her, she going to work, and that just make me want to just work harder for her, you know what I mean? So she is my biggest motivation, my number one supporter. She always been there since day one. Right now I can call her and be like, mom, cook up a plate. You know, she will. Hey, Ryan, you hear? Hey, I'm saying this in front of the people, Ryan. That time my mom cook, you getting the plate.
If
people hearing this, now,
if you don't, I'm going to be upset now.
Hey, I'm
gonna
be upset. I'm a minimal word.
All right, man. But how was, you know, obviously your football family, your brothers, your uncle, you know, what was it, you know, when was it that you realized, man, I'm pretty good at this football stuff?
I think really going into my eighth grade year. And it wasn't even because football. It was really because I wanted to be on the basketball team. And I wanted to be on the basketball team. And I was like, you know what? I want to go on every field trip. I want to go on every – I want to do every eighth grade activity, you know what I mean? And my mom worked at my school. So I was like, all right, I want to do good for my mom, things like that. So it was really like – going into my eighth grade year, I wanted to really turn on the switch. And it was really, like I said, because of basketball, I wanted to be on the basketball team, like stand out of trouble in school, stop hanging around the wrong crowd, stop doing the little small little things I had to do. I had to really mature because I kind of knew, like, all right, I'm good. You know, everybody played part one of growing up, you know what I mean? But then you get to high school, you get some guys, you know, they start to weave out and things like that. And I wasn't one of those guys where it's like, okay, you know, like, football might not. It was always my motivation. I've been doing it since 4 years old. So it's like, why get this far to only get this far? So when I got into high school, it really clicked on. It clicked on. It clicked on. And I'm here right now.
Oh, for sure. And high school, You told me about one game. I think it was with DJ Ivy Nut. You play. He was scared to cover you or something like that.
Hey, nothing new, right? Hey, listen to this game. The only thing you know, right? Nah. So me and Nut, we know we was always been together in high school and stuff like that, right? So Nut, he's been out here, whatever. So we go to my school and we hanging out. I don't know. We're in my head coach office. We just talking ball and whatever. So my head coach say, "Hey DJ, you know I'm putting on give it that receiver, right?" So he's like, "Yeah, yeah." I say, "I only got one route. If you ask anybody, I had one route and it was a bum. I had one route. It was a slow route, right?" So we played DJ the first game of the year. And I'm talking to DJ every day. Me and DJ talk every day. And all I'm knowing is that DJ finna stick me. DJ finna stick me today, right? It's going down. And they had Tariq. They had Tariq Stevenson. Tariq was young, though. Tariq was a young. He was the young cornerback. He didn't have blown up as much as he was. So it was DJ, and they had another guy named Smoke. He ended up going to FIU. And I line up every receiver, DJ go to safety.
That's crazy.
Right? I said, "Why you go to safety? We already know what you're doing, right?" So we already know. No, so they played like quarter three and quarters like that. So, yeah, he didn't really want to stick me still to the day. He won't admit it, but he didn't want to come out there and stick me, man.
Well, it was that scared for real.
Hey, I'm going to say he was scared. He didn't want to stick me. But, hey, that was my boy, though. He didn't want no pause of me, man.
When did you start blowing up in high school as far as like getting offers and all that?
Crazy. It was going into my junior year spring. That spring, I had went to a Florida Fire trial. I had stuck a lot of guys. I went like six for six. I stuck six guys. Six for six.
Yeah.
And It was a couple of good guys. I ain't gonna say the names. It was a couple of good guys, you know what I mean? And it was really like two guys that I stuck. And one guy did a comeback and I played it good. Another guy, he did like a slant, I played it good. But those guys, like I say, those guys, one guy in the NFL right now and the other guy, he's in college right now. So those were pretty good guys. And I went against four other guys after that. And I did well. I went, and I say nobody caught a ball on me, anything like that. And then from that day, I had my first offer was I had got Alabama at the 707 trial. I had Alabama, West Virginia, Georgia, FAU, USC, like all in 5 minute wins, man.
Damn.
I tell you, like, if you ask anybody, like, it was shocking because that day, all I did was wake my brother. I woke my brother up that morning. I said, "Hey, take me to the 707 trial." And I said, Cooney was the coach back then. I'm like, "Hey, man, take me to the 707 trial." You know what I mean? Like, Cooney already told me to come out. No, just ball, whatever. And I woke my brother. He didn't even know. Like, he was tired. I said, "Bro, you got to wait. Take me to this camp." You know what I mean? And I had a couple friends that I grew up with. They already had started to get their offers on Josh Job and Marlon Brooks. So they already had jumped. They already had got their offers first. So I'm like, "Okay, my boys got it." So that just motivated me. Like, all right, time to get yours. You know what I mean? So at that camp, when I left, I had five offers. Like, walking off the field, five offers.
I had a 7-on-7 trial.
That's crazy.
I swear. At Florida Fire, 7-on-7 trial.
Damn.
Coach Dennis, much love to Coach Dennis. He looked out for me. Coach Cooney and the rest of the Florida Fire coaches, all of them, they looked out for me. Coach JR, they showed love. After that, by that next morning, I think I had seven to nine offers. And then... And then Miami offered me probably like offer 11, 13, right? And I'm telling you, I get an offer back to back. And CJ Henderson, all right? I'm at school. I'm at Gables. I get DeWasso to come pick me up. CJ Henderson, that one, he was committed. So he hit me up like, "Bro, commit, you know? So I'm going to think about it. I'm going to go meet with my moms and things like that. So I picked my mom up from work. My mom worked at Ponce de Leon right in front of the school. So picked my mom up from work, went. We met with Coach Rick, all right? Coach Rick, Coach Banda, all the coaches. They put me in the big room. I call it the big room. They know. So we call it. They don't use that office no more. But they put me in the room. We all talked and just hanging out and things like that. And my mom, she didn't really want me to leave anyways. Like, my mom, only one of my mom kids had went off to college. Two went to FIU and one went to Fort Hays State University in Kansas. But she ain't really, mom wanted us to stay close to home, man. When I was in there, they're talking. I say, Mon, can I whisper to him. I like, Mon, can I commit? She like, do whatever you want to do. And I was like, all right, so so I go and I meet with Coach Rick in his office. I commit. After I commit, I promise you no lie. I probably got like 3 offers after that.
Yep, that's how it be.
Like 3-4 offers. Florida State, they called me instantly. Cause Florida State, they was recruiting my boy Amir Rasul. So they was already coming around and stuff like that. And I had met with the coach before, you know, you introduce young guys going spring to the coaches and stuff like that. So he called me. They didn't really talk about much. They just offered me because I had committed to Miami. And then Coach T-Rod, when he was at South Carolina, he came by. And then NC State. And then Coach LT when he was at Kentucky. So I ended up with 4 offers I thought I committed. So no other school, they really ain't want to mess with me. And I was a hard commit because me, my boy Joe committed, then DJ committed right after me. So it was just like, schools ain't come. Schools ain't come. So I jumped off with 10 offers, 12 offers, and that was it.
Josh Job and CJ Henderson was committed to Miami?
You say what?
Josh Job and CJ Henderson was committed to Miami too?
Yeah.
Josh Job flipped late.
Joe was committed. Joe was I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was the first 2018 commit.
And he was late, too.
So he went to Bama, then CJ went to Florida, right?
CJ went to Florida.
Damn, that's crazy.
Both of them boys committed. CJ really got me to commit. That was crazy. CJ had got me to commit. And then Joe, you know, Joe did what he did. But, he had ended up going to Bama on last minute. They were pushing hard. And they ended up getting, you know what I mean? You know how that goes.
Yeah, that's crazy. I feel like it's always like that in Miami. Like, man, they had this guy committed. This guy wanted to go here, but they ended up going somewhere else.
I'm not going to lie. Me being from Miami, it'd be a lot of outsiders, too. Like,
yeah.
It can be, like, you can have push there. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, but it's the truth. Like you'll have different people in your ear trying to make you pursue somewhere else. Yeah. And it just be like that.
I got you.
So your first year here, you know, you came here in the spring, early enrollee. How was your whole first year?
My very first 6 months when I really didn't enroll, it was what? January 10th, January 11th. I graduated high school early. And you know, for me, it was right there. Like, my high school 5 minutes away, my mom 5 minutes away, my neighborhood 5 minutes away. So it was just like everything. It wasn't even – everything I needed was here, right? So my first 6 months probably was the best time I ever had at Miami. I'm not gonna lie. It was the best fun I had. I supposed to be in high school. I'm in college. And I just had fun. And then my freshman year, you know, leading up to the season – as a freshman, I ain't really take a lot of things for real. I ain't take my weight for real. I ain't take my body for real. You know, young guy, just living a freshman life. You know how all freshmen be. And I didn't take those things for real, like getting enough sleep, eating right, lifting right, lifting all day, doing different things to get my body functioning, going in the training room, getting in the tub. I wasn't, like, doing those things as a freshman because I was just like, whatever, I'm here right now. And that right there made me take a step back because I had gained too much weight. I was overweight. I pulled growing. And it was a slow start for me. But I did stay focused. If you know, I didn't mess up in school. I was staying focused in school. I was on task with that. And then, you know, before the season, when they told me I was on scout team, you know, as a freshman, you just like, what? So I'm like kind of heard about the situation and things like that. And then, like, we get to week 3, week 4. Now I'm just having fun on scout team. If these gonna be my only reps, I'm making my best rep. And then we had Jimmy Murphy at the time. I don't think I was here with Jimmy Murphy, but y'all know Jimmy. Y'all know Jimmy. Hey, I was here with Jimmy. Okay. So, you know, I had Jimmy. And so Jimmy used to get defensive player scout team of the week every week. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, I'm gonna try to get this from Jimmy Murphy, man. So I started going hard in practice, and probably like week five, week six, it was into it. And I was at corner still. I came in as a corner. I was playing corner on scout team, giving them looks, and, you know, just practicing. And then the striker. That's how I ended up at striker because on scout team, this guy we had a striker. I think he got hurt or something. He went down. I was like, hey, coach, I can get that striker. I just try it. Like, just playing striker. And then I'm like, okay, I'm getting the hang of this. And I was actually doing good. And scout, I'm really just balling in scout. Like, just balling. I mean, like I say, they're my only reps. If you ask the boys, I had fun in practice. I made practice fun because I knew I'm going to go over to the scout team. I'm going to try to beat Jimmy Murphy out. Jimmy Murphy, he had a motor. He don't stop. He go every play. So yeah. I was just trying to work like that. And then after the season, Coach Ron called me. Said, you know, we think about moving to strike. You know what you want to do? I said, coach, whatever. I just want to play. And then I knew they were moving on Zach to Will. And then it was only Romeo. So I'm like, okay. Better chance. It's two guys. Liable to rotate in. You never know what's gonna happen. And that's how I became a striker. Coach Packy called me out. The coach Ron called me. Was like, let's get to work.
I came in that summer, the first.
Yeah, time. That's exactly how I became. I became the position I play now because of scout team. Because I was gonna go to safety. Gonna move back to safety. I played safety in high school. Came to Miami. Wanted to give corner a try. Learn corner.
I'll never forget the first thing GB ever told me. It was the funniest thing ever. I come in right in the summer, and we're doing meetings and everything. And, you know, I'm asking questions because I want to know so I can, you know, get in on 7-7 and stuff. And I think we were in a meeting with Coach Packy or something, and I was like, hey, you know, what do I do on this? I swear to God, GB was saying like blitz on every single play. I'm like, damn! Blitz like every play. And Coach Packy's dying laughing. Like it's the summer. Like we just bullshitting. Like it's the summer.
Yeah.
Coach Packy's dying laughing.
I will tell. Hey, I say, hey, just blitz every play.
Like, hey man, when in doubt, you don't know the play.
You don't know blitz. What you're doing. Blitz. Yeah.
That's funny.
Hey, that's
the best stuff you do say.
Hey, it worked when it worked.
Hey, it worked when it worked.
It worked when it worked. Nah.
You end up making the tackle, and they're like, well, damn, you know, you can't, you know, MA, great play.
Great play. But you blitz, you aren't really blitz.
That's funny. Hey,
that's how I was when I first became a striker. I just really thought it was just blitzing.
So now you're in Miami, you're a striker now. So, like, kind of talk about, like, your journey, like, from your freshman year, you know, to now. Like, how would you explain, like, your experiences and your journey at Miami?
It's been a roller coaster, but I'm not going to lie, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everything. Yeah. I'm grateful for every coach that came in my life. I'm grateful for every obstacle I had to pass, real. Because, like, that made me who I am today, you know what I mean? Like, we can all say if we would have did this, if we would have did that, but, like, Well, God laid out for you. You feel me? You just got to really follow the path. And I did that, you know, like I say, man, my freshman year, I ain't played. So I knew I was a scout team player. When they called me at my going into my sophomore year, and I'm just like, I just want to play. So if it's striker, it's striker. You know what I mean? Junior year went smooth. And then I kind of took a back step, you know, last season, didn't play as well as I wanted to, you know what I mean? But like I say, things like that happened. God put me in this position for a reason. I just really got to keep following his glory and following his footsteps and trusting him and just putting in the work on my end, you know what I mean? Like, just giving it all I got. And at the end of the day, I'm going to be happy with my result because I know I gave it all I got.
I like that. For sure. That's you know, everybody got different paths for like
for real.
Everybody got different paths. Like what's for them is for them, right? Bro, like sometimes like
it's people, crazy.
Yeah, sometimes people will like look at somebody else like, damn, I wish it was me. But same time, like, bro, everybody like, we all blessed. Yeah, we all blessed, bro. You got to just follow your own path and make the best of your situation.
Oh, and that's what sometimes people mess up though. Is especially when you're young, you know, when you get much older. You get like your fourth year, fifth year, and you start to see little things, and you don't do the same thing that a young guy might do or things like that, because you'll know like, okay, that ain't it, or I can't keep doing the same thing expecting different results. You know what I mean? Like if you're doing the same thing and it's not working, you can't keep doing that. You know what I'm saying? Expecting a different result, and it'd be crazy. I mean, I just seen a couple guys that I took out on their official visit get drafted.
Yeah.
He was like, what? Like, yeah, like, woo! Like, they came in a year after me, probably, you feel me? 2 years after me, but it's just like, whatever God got planned for you, he got planned for you, you know what I mean? Like, you really can't rush this process, especially in college. Like, you'll see a couple guys rush it, and then they'll look around and be like, nah, this ain't what it is, you know what I mean? You really just got to, like I said, you got to really follow God's glory for you, because like I say, your path is totally different from someone else. If that might work for them, but that might not work for you too much, you know what I mean? Yeah. And once you really know that, and you really get the understanding of that, when you're in college, that's the best thing, the best feeling, because now you feel like you're more in control of your environment or what you got going on, how you handle a certain situation that you might want to handle different, you handle it totally different just because you're more wiser and the knowledge that you had along the way, the people that you met along the way that influenced your life. I mean, I say, man, I'm just blessed, man. I take it one day at a time. You can't think too far ahead because then you're going to miss the stuff that's in front of you.
I like that right there. You know, I kind of want to, you know, one of the last things I wanted to talk about before we get to the question that we ask everybody is, you know, I want to ask you about this spring, you know, how you felt about this new defense and, you know, the position you're in, you know, playing a bit of a nickel, you know, Sam linebacker, you know, just switching things up. And you had a great spring too. You know, you had a really good spring, bunch of interceptions you had some that you dropped right in your hand.
You never picked me off.
I picked him off.
I never picked you off, King. I don't think I ever did.
You never picked me off.
I don't think I did.
Hey, I remember that first spring here, I was the only one.
Yeah, I threw one pick first spring to this guy. It'll count. It was 1-on-1 though, for real. Was it 1-on-1 or 7-on-7?
No, it was 7-on-7. You remember I caught it behind my head.
Yeah,
I remember that. You did.
It was on Will Mallory. He threw a jump ball to Will Mallory, and I put my hand behind my head.
Yeah. And that was your highlight of the year, man.
Nah, that was one of them. I had a good spring that spring.
Yeah,
I remember I threw the ball down like on Will and everything.
I remember that shit.
Yeah, you was mad as shit. That was the only interception through all that spring. But yeah,
I left like 2-3 out there that I owe my peoples, and I owe my peoples that one. I left a couple.
You made a bunch of big hits too in spring. Bunch of TFLs. You know, you could tell you really, you know, started to get the defense more towards the end of the spring. I mean, that's like, you know, everybody, but you know, you're a smarter player. That's when some people don't get. Some people don't know. That's what makes you a good player. You're one of the most knowledgeable players on our, you know, team when it comes to football. How was it for you?
You know, trying to learn a new playbook after you've been like drilled something for 4 years, like it's kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like a different transition, and it's like a totally different playbook and defense. But if you kind of like, so how I do and how I learn things fast, you know what I mean? I try to bracket things. So I bracket my plays in a way like, okay, we used to run it this way and try to mix it with what we run now and just see the difference and how can I maybe relate the coverages to know which is which one high, which one too high, which one we in zero, which one we in this, which one we in that, which one we disguising. And I say, being a very smart football player, I kind of like, I buy into it more because you gotta know your strength and you gotta know your weaknesses. You know what I mean? So if I know what you're doing before you do, that kind of helped me out. I can move a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can react faster. If a tackle, he might be heavy on his hand, so you know he's blocking down. Or he might be light on it and he pass blocking. Or you might have a guard, he's far back, you might know he's pulling, you gotta jump a guy. So it's like, me, I just call it being a technician of the game, you know what I mean? And then you get with guys like Ed Reed, right? And Ed, and it's so crazy because the type of Ed guy, Ed watched the weirdest things. Ed watched the smallest things. And you wonder, like, what makes him such a great player? And when you watching film with him, it's so crazy because he's standing up, watching the film, and acting like he's that defender on the field, putting himself in that position. And I learned that a lot. Like, put yourself in that position. See what that player did wrong and how can you make it better. See if a receiver, he might move his hands when he's getting the ball. You know what I mean? Or his hands might be down when he's not getting the ball. Or he might, if he run hard off two steps, he's usually going out. You know what I mean? So Ed looks at things like that, and I picked that up from him, like, okay, like small things like that. Oh, running back, the running back might look, turn his head right before he gonna get the ball to know what gap he want to hit. You know what I mean? Like, everybody do something, even us on defense. We do something where you might know you're blitzing this play or know you're not blitzing this play. You know what I mean? So my knowledge of the game, I just know, like I say, you got to just kind of know what they're doing before they're doing. You got to really just buy into the system. You got to believe in the coaches. You got to trust the coaches. Like I say, like, we in a new – this is a totally different environment. We all still getting to know each other. We all still bonding. We all still trying to find out who the guy we playing for as a coach, the player next to you. Everything relates as one. You know what I mean? If I know your struggles and I know everything that you're willing to do behind this football and for the team, then that give me more confidence. You know what I mean? If you know what I got going on, that give you more confidence of, like, I know he got my back. I know this coach believe in me, vice versa, however it goes. You know what I mean? And, you know, like I say, this is a new culture. And, you know what I'm saying? We just taking it one day at a time. Like I say, man, we're in a new system, so we all learning. We all putting in a new place. We all learning together. They learning how we play. We learning how they coach. You know what I mean? And it all working out. As you can see, like, we just trying to get better. We all trying to play harder. We just going out there to give it all. Like I say, like Coach always asks, like, you know, just go out there and give it your all every chance you get.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, there's a thing we always do at the end of every episode. We ask every single guest, what is one piece of advice that you could give anyone? It doesn't have to be about football. It could be about anything. What was one piece of advice you could give to anyone?
I give my advice to my youngsters, to the young bros out there. I like giving a message to them because I was in that position. You know, with some of them, things might not be going your way right now. Things might not feel right. But like I say, man, if you surround yourself around good people and you doing the right thing, like Coach Rump always say, if you living right, things going to go right for you, man. You just take it one day at a time. Never rush your process. No matter what people try to say, no matter what people try to do to bring you down, always keep your faith in God. Always stay humble. Always stay humble. Never get above yourself. You know what I mean? So keep my advice would be, like I say, keep God in your hands. Follow his footsteps. And to my young guys, just stay focused. You know what I'm saying? You never know when your time comes. Just always be prepared.
That's good.
Good one right there. Hey, one last thing. It's just a funny story that I remember when we were talking about Coconut Grove. It was me, you, and Romeo. We driving down the street with the windows down in Coconut Grove. This is how you know.
Yeah,
neighborhood hero, GB. We have the windows down. Tell me why every person we pass, there's some badass little kids like yelling out, man, screw you, GB, like messing with them and stuff, like across the street. They got a dude in a wheelchair was going by across the street. Yo, GB, GB. Yeah. Like, bro, everybody that we passed up knew him. Everybody. Yeah. We was just driving by, like.
Well, they were a hero for real.
I just tried, man. I just, look, man, to be honest, we all can do it. We all can do it, man. And like I said, I'm close to home. Like, we got guys that's in school at other places and things like that. But, you know, I'm home. They seeing me. They see me around. You know what I'm saying? Like, they be in the neighborhood. I might be there just, you know, hanging out, and they see me, and they might just want to play ball in the street and, you know, just want to hang out and just ask questions, ask for some gloves. They always trying to get some gloves from me. It's thousands of them, but they trying to get my gloves. They always getting gloves. But like I say, like, you know, I just try to be there for my community as much as I could. You know, I had the camp last year, which I'm doing again this year. King came out to the camp, and a couple of my teammates came out to the camp. And if you was just out there, you felt the energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
People just out there, man.
That was like a block party for real.
Yeah, for real. Everybody's just out there. Like, even it's like the camp done, and everybody's still out there just hanging out and having a good time, barbecuing and chilling. And that's what's important, man. You know, just giving back as much as you could. Just let them see you. You know what I'm saying? Let them see you doing the right thing. You know, they see too much of the wrong thing out here, and, you know, and just let them see the right thing. And you might not, can't touch everybody, but you can touch somebody. And you never know who life can change just by saying what's up or giving them advice or just answering or whatever they need. You know what I mean? So I just try to be that much as I could for my community.
Amen, bro.
That's real. Definitely appreciate you, coming on the show for a little minute, talking to us and all that. Appreciate that.
Appreciate y'all boys for having me, man. That's and good luck on your process too, one.
I'm straight. I leave Thursday and go to New England, so
just waiting on that, bro. Yeah, boy, you finna be cold, boy.
Yeah, I already know.
Hey, you finna be cold, but hey, man, I already know you. But lock in. And good luck to you, and you know, take
appreciate
care.
Thank you, everybody, for listening in. You know, from me and Derek, thank y'all from King Ragone Show. We'll see y'all next time.